Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change?
Everyone, welcome to Resilient Story Podcast. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing individuals like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go on to live their best lives. Today's show is sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway. We believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com, go into the programs products tab and look at the Million Dollar Business Program and get started. Are you guys ready for another amazing podcast show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Dr. Shakina Moore. Good morning. Welcome. How are
thank
you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you doing, Dr.
Great,
Tommy?
Great. Hey, thank you very much for joining me this morning, Dr. Shakina. So before we get started with the actual podcast questions, tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do.
Awesome. So again, my name is Dr. Shakina Farmore, and I am so excited, first and foremost, to be a part of this. I do believe that overcoming obstacles is par for the course if you're any successful person. There's really no way to get around it. Yes. And so thank you so much for providing this platform. It's amazing.
Yes. Thank you very much for joining as a guest. Yes.
So just a little bit about me. I don't like talking about myself, but since you...
don't give too much of your story, because we're going to go into your story in a minute.
You just, yeah, you know, I will not. I'm just a woman who is passionate about helping women to be confident. And I have a vision of every woman being confident around the globe. And so I'm playing my part in duplicating myself and helping others to do what I do. And so I think it's timely, especially when you look at everything that's going on in the world right now, that women really step up and do some amazing things. So I'm excited about my plight. My brand is called Formidable. Yes. And so I run Formidable Woman Magazine. We're launching Formidable Men Magazine.
Okay, love it.
So
what is the definition of formidable? We hear that term thrown around a lot. How do you define that?
Formidable is someone who's a force to be reckoned with.
Like that.
A true powerhouse.
Okay, like that. Good. I love it. Love it. Yes. So you'll be starting one for men as well.
Yeah. So many men kept asking Dr. Tommy, and I was like, I didn't know whether to go in that direction or not, but I prayed about it and got enough confirmations. You know, I said, I better go ahead and launch it. So yeah, we're launching it this year.
That is awesome. So is your brand focused primarily on trying to help women just be better? And you mentioned self-esteem as well, having healthy self-esteem and going out there doing what they want to do. Is that kind of the bulk of it, or?
Yeah, well, it's the confident piece. So what I began to see as I moved in free enterprise is that a lot of women are capable. A lot of women are already equipped, but they don't have the confidence to move forward. Yeah. Right. And so the very thing that brought you to do the things you do and share with the world that required confidence, the way you're showing up in all aspects required a certain level of confidence in your ability to be able to do those things. Yes. Well, a lot of women have those same capabilities, but they don't have the confidence.
Yes.
And so I'm not going to tell you too much of my story right now, as I'm sure you're going to be asking some questions, but it's a real challenge. And so I decided to be an answer to that problem.
And that is awesome. I appreciate you doing that, man. I'm definitely have my daughters tune in, because they have good confidence, but we can always use and kind of evaluate ourselves to make sure that what we're doing is really where God has intended for us to be, you know.
So we're not
a fake confidence, you know, as many of us men do sometimes. So I think, you know, the men, we can benefit from that big time. And I'm going to say this, and a lot of my brothers from Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, they're going to probably have some issues with me. But there's a lot of brothers there who've been faking it. We got to get real with ourselves.
It's real.
And stop hiding behind titles and fraternities and all this other
stuff. And my chismo.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. So again, so thank you very much for joining me. You know, the purpose of our podcast is really to share the stories of amazing people like yourself and have them walk us through, you know, some of the challenges or one of the major challenges they face in life. So our audience can get a chance to hear and extract some nuggets that they can apply in their own lives, whether they're currently going through something or something that they may be facing in the future. So I'm going to get started with our first question, Dr. Sheena. What's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome personally or professionally in your life?
Confidence. Confidence was the big, look, I always say your pain is normally where your passion lies. Sure. And so for me, the very things I do now, they were all birthed out of this lack of confidence. Mm. The woman you see today just simply wasn't the woman, you know, you would know if you had met me even 4 years ago.
Oh, wow. So tell us a little about that. Where did that lack of confidence kind of stem from? Where did it come from?
So I can remember as early back as being a kindergartner, first grader, second grader. One day when I was actually packed for college, I was living in Bell time, and my parents were staying in Bell's, moving to the United States myself. I was 17 years old. And I remember my mom handed me this packet, and the packet contained all of my report cards going all the way back to kindergarten. Wow. She kept every single report card going all the way back to kindergarten. And I don't know if you remember or not, you may not be as old as I am, but as seasoned as I am. But back in the day, what the teachers would do is they would have term one, term two, term three, term four in North Carolina. They would write out in handwriting commentary about you.
Okay. I do remember seeing some of them.
They would handwrite commentary. And so, and everything was in cursive, you know, because back then they stressed cursive writing.
Yes.
So anyway, I remember this one particular teacher, she wrote in the comments, and this was the summation, like the summary of my year. Mm-hmm. She wrote in the comments to my mother, "I'm very concerned about Shakina. She lacks social skills. She lacks people skills. She's very awkward. Oh. She's so shy that I really fear for her future."
Wow.
She did not read. I mean, it was all of this negativity. Yeah. And the funny thing is, my mom taught me how to read before I even started school. Sure. Like I was like one of the only fourth graders who knew how to read. Wow. But I was so shy that they would mistake that for lack of knowledge,
sure,
lack of social skills, lack of this. And I was shy. I was, it was a crippling shyness.
Yes.
And I remember that. And so then moving forward, again, I was a military brat. I shared that mm-hmm. with you before we started the recording.
Yes.
I was a military brat, moved around. So you can imagine moving from social scene to social scene and constantly having to interface with new people, having to start over and get to know people. They get to know you, that type of thing. That was challenging for me up until middle school. It wasn't until I moved to Belgium at the start of eighth grade, and I had this one teacher, her name was Madame Mills. I loved her. She dressed to the nines. She spoke four languages. She was eloquent. She was everything.
Wow.
She was my French teacher. And because of her, she fostered a relationship with me. And she spent time nurturing the social skills and the confidence and the things that I really needed something in me.
Yes.
And I'm fluent speaker. I began trying out for things, honor roll student, captain of my basketball team, student relations committee. Like I totally blossomed into this person, the leader of my junior ROTC squadron. All this was happening simultaneously, received scholarships to college. It was because of that time period where I moved away from states, moved into another country, and someone took the time, saw something in me, and began to pull back the layers and become confident and blossom. Now, but here's the thing, Dr. Tommy, once I moved away from that environment where that teacher was, and it was time for me to move back to the States, to college, it was almost like all the progress I had made went backwards.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's why I'm so passionate about speaking on confidence, because that's my story.
Yes. And thank you for having the courage to do that, because there's so many of us out there who, men and women, who lack that same confidence. And, you know, we go through life and we learn how to fake it until we make mm-hmm. it, quote unquote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, many of us don't ever make it. And we go through life being a representative, not who we truly are, though, you know? So, you know, we hear a lot about people who lack confidence or have self-esteem issues. How did it feel? What were the feelings or emotions that you dealt with when people, I mean, even getting I'm a former school principal, you know? I couldn't imagine one of my teachers saying it to a student. I mean, I'd be trying to keep her out of my building. You know, one of the teachers said something like that, though. How did it feel to you when you read some? I mean, you probably didn't read it when you were a kindergartner, did you? Probably didn't know about it then.
No.
So, well, I mean, what
but I do remember feeling it.
Okay.
I do remember feeling those. I do remember feeling like my teachers felt that way about me, if that makes sense. Even as a young child, I remember feeling like, even though I hadn't read the words, seen the words written on paper, which would have been really damaging. I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm glad my mom never, you know, showed that to me. But I do remember having a conversation with my mom later about those comments. And, you know, she shared with me some of the things that she said to those teachers at the time. Back then, things were so different, you know, it's kind of hard to explain, but I do believe that education, teachers kind of could do what they wanted to do back then, you know?
Yeah.
I remember even when I moved to Belgium, like teachers were behind the building smoking, like it was no big deal, know? But I actually, as I read it as an older person, I used it to fuel me.
Sure.
It's the reason why I'm now the author of 20 books. It's the reason why I run a publishing company. It's the reason why I became a doctor.
Yeah.
And I didn't take shortcuts, you know. It's the reason why I set out to do some of the things I want to do, because sometimes people can just, and a lot of women face this, they only look at your outer beauty. They only look at your outer package. And I think it's a really important in confidence building to become a woman of substance, someone who has sought out and achieved her own dreams and things that she's wanted to do outside of physicality.
Yes, absolutely. Very, very, very well said. You know, so as you were going through this, these adolescent years dealing with confidence, man, how did you cope? What were some of the mechanisms you used to kind of cope with the challenges you were facing around that? What'd you do?
Well, looking back, one of the things and at the time I didn't know I was doing it, but I recognized that I did, was I found allies. And so I remember when I was in middle school, I had this one best friend, Keisha, and we went to church together. And then the first year, like, we were at totally different schools, but the next year we ended up being in the exact same school.
Wow.
And she was like my one friend. And it was like, I latched on, child. And it really did help me get through those years, because I remember awkward things like having a period and having acne and all kinds of crazy stuff that you go through, you know, during those middle school years. And it was so comforting to just have like a friendly face and someone that I knew. Now, as an older person, I can say some of the things I was experiencing from girls, like the bullying and the picking on me and things like that, is really because they thought I was beautiful and didn't want me around. It wasn't because there was something wrong with me, but at the time, you're thinking like, you're just this, you're like, oh my gosh, ugly duckling, no one wants to be around you. You know, you don't have any friends, you know, in those times. Fast school, I became quite the academic, and so a lot of my friends that were slackers actually started rising to the occasion and started being challenged by the things doing. And I actually took pride in that.
Wow.
So I was quite a leader in high school. But like I told you, college, things changed.
Things changed in college for all of us, right? Right. No, that is remarkable. And, you know, having that friendship and as you call it, allies, man, is absolutely critical, especially when we're going through challenging times. Sometimes we try to go through this thing by ourselves. And when you're hearing your own voice, man, that can become very, very dangerous for you as well. You know, so as you were going through this, did you have any mentors or guides to kind of help you think about how to come out of this or how to deal with that?
Counselors or anyone else that you turn to?
So in middle school, I really didn't. Like, it wasn't until I moved to Belgium where I started to form a lot of relationships with people who had my best interests at heart. So one of those individuals was my basketball coach. He actually ran for senator in North Carolina. I can't remember the name of the city, one of the North Carolina cities.
Really?
A couple of years ago. Yeah. But at the time he was my drama teacher and he was also my basketball coach.
He
taught, the conversations we would have would just be so deep, you know. He helped me to see things on another level, not just where I was.
Sure.
But he always spoke to the future Shekinah, which was amazing. Same thing with Madame Mails, you know, who's my French teacher. She always spoke to me and she said something really poignant to me. So people will always mispronounce my name, Shekinah. All that's been my whole life, right? Until recently, like lately, hardly anyone, like the last couple of years, hardly anyone mispronounces my name.
That's good.
Bananas. So anyway,
it helps when you have doctor in front of that name too.
I remember her saying to me, "Well, your job is to make sure." Okay, but I remember her saying to me, "Well, your job," because I was all flustered and I was upset, you know, and she happened to be there, and she said, "Well, your job is to make sure that your name is so great that no one mispronounces it."
I like
and
that.
That has always stuck with me. I mean, she's this little 5 foot, you know, Russian speaking, German speaking, French speaking, Spanish speaking lady, like Caucasian. She's this white lady that just, I mean, she was just, and she could dress to the nines. So I just highly respected her. And when she said that to me, it just sent light bulbs off, right? Like, I'm going to do this.
That's some great advice. Make your name so great that no one else could, they're not even want to mistakenly say it the wrong way again, right? I love that advice.
That's right.
That is great advice. So, you know, as you were going through it, was there a turning point in your adolescence where you said, hey, you know what, where you hit the wall and said, you know, I got to figure this thing out, or where you start yearning to not keep going through life dealing with issues of lack of confidence? Was there a turning point for you ever?
There was in college, because again, I had reverted back, you know, once I lost my support system, so to speak. Because remember, when I went to college, I moved to the United States, to a whole nother country. My parents were still living in Belgium.
Okay.
You know, and here I am, 17 years old, in college, no familiar surroundings. You know what I'm saying? I've been living in a whole different country.
Yeah.
And then I have an accent. You know, I speak French. You know, I had, when I moved here, I had a heavy, like, French accent. And you would never know that today because I've been living here so long. But oh my gosh, everyone picked up on it and was like, oh my God, where are you from? Miss Belgium. So I felt very isolated. Mm-hmm. But I had this situation in college where I was dating this guy. He was older. And, you know, he would take me out to these really nice restaurants, and we would just have, like, we would always laugh, have a good time. He actually was, you know, someone a lot of people on campus knew. And, you know, he was attracted to me, I was attracted to him, everything was good, having a good time. I was liking the fact that he was taking me to these nice places. And what I didn't know was that he was an undercover alcoholic. He was a, what do you call it, a functioning alcoholic. Yeah. And this one evening I show up, we're supposed to be going out. He had asked me to meet him. As soon as I get to the doorstep, he's just like, beat it. And I'm like, I'm not used to anyone talking to me like that. Like, what are you talking about? And especially not him, because we never had any issues. So I thought, you know, I'm just like, oh, he's just joking, blah, blah. Next thing I know, Dr. Tommy, this man is choking me out.
Really? Wow. He's
choking me out. And it took like another big guy and another friend to, because I didn't go alone. I went with my girlfriend. It took them to literally pull him off of me.
Wow.
And I literally, in that moment, as he was grasping my throat, I felt like I was going to die. Like, I felt like I wasn't going to be able to take another breath. And for me, that was like a wake-up call for me, in the sense that, how did you get here? Number one. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy. Like, I never really talk about that. Number two, what are you going to do from here?
Yeah.
Like, it was a serious wake up call for me, because here you are. You're smart. You're beautiful. You're, you know, capable of so many things. And you're in this situation.
Wow.
And I remember from that point on, I got super seriously focused on my studies. Wow. And I turned my GPA around. I remember just, you know, seeking out partnerships and internships. And I was just a different person. Wow. After that moment, because that was yet another thing that I was putting in my pocket to allow to fuel me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my turning point.
Man, you know what? Kudos to you and for being a survivor and overcoming. And that's amazing. And really, I really appreciate you sharing your story and being transparent and honest here with us as well today. If you look back, what do you think was your ongoing motivation to get beyond the challenges you were facing as a kid? Because, I mean, this spanned from your adolescent years all the way into college. What was your motivation? What kept you field during that time? I know you wanted to prove others wrong, but was there something else that was keeping you field that time?
Yeah. I think what that situation, you know, being choked out unexpectedly like that, dating someone who you think is normal and they're actually a functioning alcoholic and not seeing the signs. It was all of that. And then just remembering who I was, you know, all the talks that my parents had with me growing up, my dad, you know, my mom and dad were pastors and evangelists. And, you know, I grew up with the word, like I grew up knowing. And I think sometimes you have to go through enough that the word, if it's in you, it starts to rise up.
Yes.
It's one of those things where when you're raised right and you have a loving daddy, there's some things you just not gonna put up with.
That's right.
And there's also things that are instilled that you will be able to recall in times of need. And so one of the things that when that situation happened occurred to me is that I was actually very much entrenched in like a patriarchal dynamic all my life, where men were constantly making the decisions, calling shots, being catered to, all kinds of things, you know. And it occurred to me that that's not right. It can be right in some situations, but it's not right for it to be the standard.
Right.
And I decided that I wasn't going to succumb to those in unwritten rules and standards anymore. And so I would start to avoid people who exhibited traits of those types of, like, I'm dominant over you because I'm a man, or this is the rule simply because I'm the man and I made it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Because there are some men who approach relationships from the standpoint of, these are your role expectations because you're a woman.
Right.
And these are the things I need you to do because you're a woman. And the problem with that is you could have a woman like me where you're limiting the benefits that you would receive, because instead of me flowing in my gifts and doing the things that make me great, I'm pandering to you and I'm dimming my light.
Yes.
And so I noticed that all my life I had been dimming my light.
Wow.
Dimming my light.
That is so powerful. That is so powerful, because many folks out there are probably doing the same. There are folks out there probably currently doing that now. And you recognize that at a young age, you're dimming your light. Wow. I'm sorry to interrupt that. That's a powerful statement though. Yeah.
No, you weren't interrupting at all, but it's true. I realized in college after that moment that I had been dimming my light, smiling on cue and, you know, being cute. And, you know, I went to high, when in high school, I was wearing Birkenstocks, went to college and felt the need to put on heels. You know what I'm saying? Like, who is this person? I was an academic. Right. And the next thing I know, I'm doing the whole fashion show thing just because I moved to another country. And that's what I'm at this HBCU, and that's what everybody's doing.
Sure.
And why are they doing it? Think about it.
Right.
So it was a lot. I had a lot of reckoning.
That's powerful. That's powerful. And again, kudos to you for, it sounded like your parents were some amazing people out there as well, man.
Oh yeah.
Kudos to you for coming to that realization at an early age, because it takes, I mean, again, some folks never get it. And then for some of us, we catch it, you know, we catch that later on in life though. So how would you say those experiences really changed you as a person though? How did they change you as a person?
Well, for one, I don't take any crap.
There you go.
You know?
You guys hear that? Dr. Shakina don't play. You hear that? Don't be messing around. She don't play.
At all. I don't. You know, I advocate for women. I make sure that I speak up on things that matter to me. I make sure that I do things that matter to me, and I don't ask for anybody's permission, know? And I think that is something that has to be unlearned, because for many of us, we grew up and it's been ingrained in us from yay young to apologize and ask for permission. So it's very rare that I say I'm sorry anymore. I'll just say, well, thank you for your chance.
Yes. Yes.
And the very distinct, there's like a very big difference between saying, oh, I'm sorry, I kept you waiting, and saying, thank you for your patience.
Yes.
Two totally different paradigms.
Yes.
And women are taught to say, I'm sorry. That has to be unlearned.
Right.
Because it takes away, it pulls away, it strips away our confidence.
Yes.
It makes us second guess ourselves. It makes us always have to question our decisions. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be offended?
Yes. And very, very well said. So when you start talking about making women a force to be reckoned with, you're going to be doing it. You're doing that. You're doing that big time. And we need our women out there to hear that as well. As you look back and reflect today, would you do anything differently?
No, I believe everything that has transpired has made me the woman I am.
Yes.
Without those circumstances, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Yes.
You know, again, I do believe that pain and purpose are a marriage.
Yes. And, you know, and that's very well said. And I want our listeners to pay attention to this, because I've asked this question of all of my guests so far. And all of them said they would not go back and do anything different, because it's the challenges in your life that make you who you are. Without the challenges, you wouldn't be who you are. Yes, they're painful. Yes, you know, they're not exciting to go through. But again, without it, you would not have the knowledge. You would have the experiences. You would not have, you would not be who you are today without them, though. So I appreciate you saying that as well. So Dr. Shekinah, we have a lot of folks out there who may be dealing with confidence, women and men, especially coming off of a year like we've just come out of, you know, people losing jobs, losing family members, losing things that are attached to who we are supposed to be, and maybe lacking that confidence and need to get beyond that hurdle. What advice would you give them in terms of how to move from the pains of 2020 to the winds of 2021? What would you tell them?
Well, they should definitely listen to your podcast, because a lot of people know, they see your glory, but they don't know your story. And yes, they do the comparison thing where they think that, you know, the garden's greener over there.
Yes.
This person has it all made. Nothing's happening to them. They aren't going through anything. And then here I am. I'm suffering. I'm losing my job. I'm this, I'm that. You know, when I moved to Atlanta 9 years ago, I moved here with a 9-month-old baby on a wing and a prayer.
Wow.
I was unhappy. I was overweight. I had lost friends. Because, you know, when you decide to do things different, that's right, when the friends start acting funny. You know what that's I'm right. saying? I was overwhelmed. I had no job. You know, you move to a new city, you got to establish yourself.
Yes.
I was just feeling all of these feelings of failure. But what God did is he locked me into a room and I wrote my best-selling book.
Wow.
Called Blots of Fears. Wow. And the book was a 30-day challenge to myself to get myself out of a rut, to get myself from feeling blah to feeling like what I envisioned when I moved there.
Yes.
And when I moved here to Atlanta, and 5 years later, I was named among Atlanta's Power 25. I was lauded by the mayor. I was recognized and applauded by the Georgia House of Representatives.
That's what I'm talking about.
I was awarded by President Barack Obama 5 years later.
Wow.
My book that God shut me in the room to write, I stayed in that room for 2 days.
Wow. Wow.
And it became my best-selling book and the launching pad for my formidable brand that you see today.
Wow. During your darkest moment, this came out of it. That is amazing.
Pain.
Yes.
Purpose.
Folks, get that. Your pain can move you to purpose. Dr. Shekinah, you are amazing. I thank you for sharing that with us. Hey, if folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to track you down?
So you guys can definitely check out formidablewomanmag.com. That's where our magazine, where we deliver content to women, accomplished women, actually, who are looking to go to another level. Because, you know, it takes levels of confidence to move from one place to the next.
That's right.
Because sometimes, you know, people don't want to let you in. And then sometimes people don't want to see you go. You got to have enough confidence to move despite. And so we help you with that. So that's formidablewomanmag.com. You fellas out there, we have something for you. Formidablemen.com is
That's
coming. We're delivering quality content for you. We want to hear you speaking to other brothers' lives, because we know that There are things you guys have to say that actually women need to read as well to help us as we navigate relationships. We have a new dating app that's releasing this year called Formidable Mingles, and that is to connect formidable men
covering
with formidable
all angles. Look
women.
At all
yes,
angles.
Yes, where you can create your own love story. And then we also have a new fitness, online fitness that we're going to be delivering to women. You know, sometimes you don't realize how much your weight is weighing you down. Yeah, and to build your confidence, we have some things for you. check us out at Fierce the Formidable. It's a free group, free support group for women that we offer on Facebook, absolutely free, where you can get all of the inspiration, all of the tools that you need to unbecome everything that isn't really you.
And that is absolutely awesome. So folks, if you're looking for a speaker, coach, are you a pastor too? You sound like
no.
a preacher out there. You sound like a preacher. It's like the preacher's kid around there. But
I'm a PK though.
Okay. Sounds like it, man. You spent some good knowledge out there. If you're looking for someone to guide and lead you to your next steps on your journey as a coach, as a speaker, you gotta go tap into Dr. Shekinah, man. So Dr. Shekinah, we talked about some hard stuff early on. We're now gonna have some fun. You ready for some fun?
Yeah, let's have some fun.
So fun. This is our rapid fire section on the show where we talk. Where I'm going to give you a number of questions. I'm not going to follow up with the questions at all. They're all questions around purpose, but it's going to give our listening audience a chance to learn more about you and how you're walking in your purpose today. You ready for this?
Okay. Yes.
You need some water before we get started?
Uh-oh. Do I need water?
You might need some water.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
It's going to be rapid fire questions.
Uh-oh.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
Here we go. How have you turned your dream into a reality?
I've become the person that I want to see in other women.
What gives your life meaning?
Operating in my purpose, seeing my children laugh.
Okay, that's good. Laughter for kids. I love it. If money wasn't an issue for you, what would you do with your time?
Exactly what I'm doing now.
Love it. What verb best describes you?
Verb. You didn't say adjective, you said verb. Okay.
Right. Look at that. That's the good student there. You hear that? The good student. She figured that one out. Look at there. The distinction between the two.
All right. So I'm going to use a gerund. Let's do unbecoming.
Okay, look at it. That is a heavy student there. She was a good student. I like that. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Lack of confidence. Okay.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Eat.
That's all of us, right? What do you wish you had more time to do?
God sees me with so many ideas. I wish I had more time to actually actualize them.
That'd be good. Have 36 hours instead of 24, right?
Right.
What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing today?
Ooh, working for the embassy.
Okay, good. If you had to teach someone something, what would you teach them?
How to own who they are.
Okay. Who inspires you the most?
My mom.
What's something about yourself or your life that might surprise our listening audience to learn about you?
That I speak French, that I cook almost every day, and that...
That's pretty good.
I go to sleep at 8.
Oh, do you? You got me beat. I go at 8:30. That's good. I love it. Now, what time do you get up?
4 a.m. every day.
4 a.m. There you go, folks. If you want to... maximize your time. That's the way you got to do it there. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Launch my studio.
What's something you'll spend time doing no matter what?
Can you repeat that?
What's something you will spend time doing no matter what?
Working out.
Okay. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
I left them an inheritance.
If you were a superhero, what would your power be?
Confidence.
Okay. If I were to walk around your home, what clues would reveal to me about what it is that you love?
You would see plenty of pencils, journals, a stock refrigerator, freezer.
That's what I'm talking about. She cooks over there now. She cooks. That's what I'm talking about.
You would see good lighting.
Okay.
And you would see nice decor.
Okay. Love it. What would you go back to school for?
Graphic design.
What do you love to learn?
And stock trading.
Okay. Good one. Good one. What do you love to learn about?
I love to learn about women who have overcome insurmountable odds to be successful.
Okay. What sparks your creativity?
Peace. Okay.
If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
When all women need a raise.
Amen to that. Amen and amen. I'm sure.
Equal pay.
That's right. That's right. If you could follow someone around today, who would it be and why?
Dr. Lois Frankel, who wrote the book, Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office.
Okay. I love that. What do you love doing for others?
I love providing income producing activities and income streams for women.
Love it. What's the best gift someone's ever given you?
Life.
What's the best compliment you've ever received?
That I'm brilliant.
Okay. What's the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
I've never been afraid to speak up.
Okay. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
I'm most proud of the moment when I got a black eye during a basketball game in high school, and I went over and shook the young lady's hand.
Wow, that's that's formidable. Yeah, that's, there you go, right there. That is that. I'd give you a lot of credit for that. That's good. What does success look like to you?
For me, is hearing my kids' laughter through the halls and being able to see my work produce fruit.
Love it. If I were to speak to the people who know you best, what would they say your purpose is in life?
To build confidence in women.
Okay. What are you most grateful for?
I'm most grateful for life. I had a heart attack in 2018, wow. And I'm here.
Wow. Amen. Glad you're here as well. Yeah.
Thank you.
What's been the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
Biggest lesson I've learned in life is it's okay to be underestimated.
Yes.
Leverage it.
Okay. And last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
I want to be remembered as the woman who provided platforms, tools, resources for women to build their confidence.
That's what I'm talking about. Oprah, move over. Dr. Shekinah's in the house. Congratulations. You survived. Give yourself a round of applause. You did some tough questions there. Awesome job. Awesome job. Thank you very much. Oprah, get out of the way. Michelle Obama, you got another person who's going to join you there as well. So folks, if you guys are looking for somebody to keep you inspired, motivated, guided, you got to reach out to Dr. Shekinah. Dr. Shekinah, if they want to get with you again, how can they reach you?
So my email, editor@formidablewomanmag.com, www.formidablewomanmag.com. And you guys know you can reach me on social media platforms at Formidable Woman Mag, Formidable Mingles, and Dr. Shekinah.
Awesome. So Dr. Shekinah, as we ready to wrap things up, the purpose of our podcast is to focus on resiliency and purpose. What can you tell folks as we get ready to leave out today around those two things? What advice would you want to give them?
Well, as it comes to resilience, you definitely want to make sure that you envision the very best version of yourself. Ask yourself, you know, what is the vision you have for yourself? What does it look like? Think about your senses. What does it smell like? What does it sound like? Right? Because those are the things that a lot of times successful people miss, because we never really thought through what is success. So when we get there, we have no idea. So make sure you tap into those senses. If you want to be resilient, you have to make sure that you keep that in front of you at all times. Yes. Because even when things get tough, when obstacles come, you'll be able to still look past and through them, understanding that your purpose is bigger than you. It's about those coming behind you.
Awesome. Let's give it up for Dr. Shakina Moore again. Awesome job. Thank you very much for all that you're doing. And folks out there, if you are someone who's an overcomer or you know overcomers with amazing stories, we want you to let us know at tawatson.com. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share it with your folks on social media. We're always looking for sponsors as well. Thank you for all you do. And we appreciate you. Peace and deuces.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.